Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to speak with Mitchell Levy. He's going to talk about his TED speaking. He's going to talk about all his different projects and about how to write a book quick and all that stuff. He's called the Aha Guy. Welcome, Mitch.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having me back, Sherry.
Thanks for coming back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it's so funny. I'm like, we're like, what should we talk about next? And I said, when did we speak last? A year and a half ago. So just think about the last year and a half of your life and what's changed. For me, a complete turnaround. So it's great, right? I mean, lots happened. Life has gone by so quickly, and so many cool things are happening.
That's great. I mean, I want to hear everything. But for those people who haven't didn't hear the last one, why don't you just give a little bit about yourself and what you do?
So I, as you mentioned, I'm called the Aha Guy from Aha That, and I empower experts and thought leaders to share their genius. How's
Very
that for
cool.
short?
That's really short.
that's
right there in a nugget.
Well, that's what I talk about. I talk about aha messages. I talk about 7-second sound bites. We don't have the elevator pitch anymore. We've got 7 seconds. If somebody says, "Tell me about you," that's your job. So hopefully, what happens is when you say, "I empower experts and thought leaders to share their genius," you're like, you sit back and you think about it for a second, and then I stop talking. What the next attempt is, well, who is it? What do you do? That's interesting. That's what we need to do today, is come up with that quick soundbite that somebody says, "Tell me more."
I could see that. I mean, you know, when I was growing up, when they had opening for TV shows, they were like adorable and cute and, you know, like the Brady Bunch and stuff like that with little songs. Now it's like 10 seconds where the little theme song and like the lead pictures or maybe a picture of the place that they're at, and that's it, and into the show. There's no time for anything anymore.
Well, it's one of those things we've recognized. So look at back in the old days when there were three TV channels. Okay.
Three networks. There were more than
maybe,
three TV channels.
Okay. Maybe more than three channels, but you know, three networks, right? So we didn't have a lot of choice. And so we just for those that consumed TV or other media, you consumed what was given to you.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, with the internet and everyone having a microphone, there is a abundance of choice. So now you get to choose where you want to spend your precious commodity, which is time. You get to choose where you spend it. And so if you could sample a number of different opportunities with small sound bites, then you can make a decision of where do you want to learn more. It's that's what we do, right? I empower experts. I empower thought leaders to be quick and easy about sharing themselves in small sound bites. So you want to ask that question, tell me more.
It's funny because, you know, I have other people who do podcasts on my show. And one of the things, I listen to everybody, as many people's podcasts as I can, usually while I'm working. But it depends on the podcast. Sometimes they're really long, like 5 hours. I mean, the one guy was on for literally 5 hours. And I'm like, I can't listen to all this. I don't have time. I listen to about
5 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
Did you go to the bathroom? I mean, you know.
5 hour podcast is a little over the top. I mean, I have 2 hour plays for Sherry's Playhouse, but that's something you can like you know, download it, listen to the first half, go to the bathroom, get dinner, whatever, come back, watch the rest, listen to the rest of the play, or you could take it with you, doing what you want. But 5 hours.
Amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I don't know if I see that, but you know, there may be an audience for something like that. Who knows?
He was into entertainment, and he was talking about comic book movies and stuff like that. And I mean, that's cool, because I like that kind of stuff, but not to that extent.
Well, there's an audience. So let's step back and say, so you and I are making a decision on that based on the lens in which we view the world. Mm-hmm. That's not the right decision. The question that needs to be asked is, what is the lens of the person who has that 5-hour podcast? What is the lens that they use to view the world? And who do they want to attract? And if the people they want to attract relate to a 5-hour podcast talking about comic book movies or whatever his overall theme is, then he's doing the right thing. And I think that's what we miss often. And I've got a 19-year-old, and since he was 2, I'd often say this phrase. His name's Duncan. And I go, Duncan, just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
we
right.
Now have the ability to do anything we want, literally, or almost. And then the question is, just because you can do some things doesn't mean you should do some things. And so you have to step back and ask the question, why am I doing this? Is it just because I have knowledge, or what's the follow-up? What happens? And that's the thing. So that's where I spend all of my focus, is trying to help people stay very focused on who they are and what they do, and be able to communicate it in such a way that their audience goes, tell me more. So I want to hire you to speak or consult or do business in another way. And that's what's important today, is staying focused to allow people to be able to see you.
That's true. That's and it's hard because, like you said, everybody has got their own thing going, and everybody has the ability to do it. Now anybody can do a podcast. It's hard to make a decision on which one you're going to do. I mean, I listen to people that are interested in coming on my show. I listen to topics I'm interested in. I mean, one of my favorite podcasts is Masterpiece Theater. I mean, I always listen to that podcast. But then I love the series, so it kind of fits in with me. You know
right.
what I mean?
I know, but I didn't get, for some odd reason, the person who booked me didn't tell you that I did a TED Talk, so you hadn't listened to that before or watched that before we talked.
No, I didn't know about it. I'm so sorry.
No,
I will listen to it.
No, it's really okay. So we'll talk about that slightly, because it's such an overlap to where we are here. And for those that are interested, the URL, we have a short URL service. So it is aha.pub/TED Talk. So that is aha.pub/TED Talk. TEDTALK. And it's it was fun to do. It was let's see. So I applied, and then I didn't hear for like 3 or 4 months. So I was just about at the stage where I go, all right, maybe I need to apply somewhere else. And I got the note. It was a late Friday night. And I didn't believe it. I'm like, oh, wait, because it didn't say, hello, Mitchell, we're excited to have you. It was like, hello, we're excited to have you. And I'm like, well, did I accidentally get on the list? So I sent an email back. Hey, is this really me? And they said, yes. I'm like, great. Well, they let us know about 6 weeks ahead of time. I hadn't written it yet. I'm like, oh, I better get busy. So I wrote it over the weekend. And then I have to tell you some magic words. And the magic words are, I'm going to be doing a TED Talk, can I practice? And every stage that I was going through into that gave, I mean, you can't ask the day of. But so the following Monday, I was going to be in front of a bunch of CEOs, just sitting in a CEO networking meeting. So I called up the host. I said, "Hey, I got a TED Talk. Could I practice?" And so the first practice I ever did, it was great because, you know, there's a small number of people in the room. And as soon as I was done, somebody new walked in and they said, "Hey, Mitchell, can you do it again?" I'm like, "Great." "Yeah, of course." That following Friday, I was in front of 200 people, and it was an event, and they go, "Oh yeah, of course, we'll fit you in." And so I got to do a lot of practice, but let me tell you what the talk was about. We are in a transformation, I think the largest transformation humankind has ever gone through. And we're transforming from the industrial age and how we do work until the social age and how we work and interact today. And we're maybe halfway through that transition. So what I wanted to do is give a framework in which people could see, and this is the title of the talk, is Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. And I did a capital B and a capital E because the most important thing is, and it's broken into four pieces, is first, you got to be you. So who are you? Because if you're not you, how could people see you? Because if you act to be somebody else, they're not seeing you, they're seeing somebody else. And then the second piece is you need to care about the person that you're interacting with. This is a big transformation for companies. Companies in the past, you know, when I went to MBA school, I read all this stuff about how important customer service was. And then I went into the business world. And I know they still said customers were important, but the way they acted, customers were not important. But that's changed. And the best example I could give is look at the uproar a year later now over Uber and what happened with Uber practices. Consumers and customers now have a voice and have a play. So the second thing that's important is you've got to listen. You've got to care. And then by the way, the primary reason for that, and I know you know this catchphrase, we do business with those that we know, like, and trust. Mm-hmm. So I talked about how do you be known, how do you be liked, how do you be trusted, you know? And so it's kind of fun that way. And the third thing I did is I defined what thought leadership was, so you get a feeling for that. And then I gave my standard talk of how do you do social media in 5 minutes a day. And then the last piece, which was amazing, is how do we define success, right? As we move to the social age, what is success? And I think what I had done and what's relevant and something for you to think about is I defined it through the lens of collaboration because we are, by definition, a tribal race. We like interacting with each other. We like doing things together as a group. And so as such, the question became, well, as an agricultural society, were we collaborative? Oh, absolutely. When we went to the industrial age, we were the opposite of collaborative. We were definitely just focused on the individual, focused on the company, focused on optimizing this command and control structure. And as we move back to the social age, we've got to continue to learn how to be collaborative again. And so it's kind of if you look at it from the lens that I put out there from a positive viewpoint, there's a whole lot of positive stuff to look forward to as we move forward into this social age. That's what the mm-hmm. TED Talk's about.
That's actually really fascinating. And I think that's something that I see a lot as a consumer is the non-caring attitude. I mean, it used to be so different. When you went to a department store or you went to a grocery store, bookstore, which doesn't exist pretty much except for Barnes & Noble. There are a few specialty stores here in San Diego, but most of the ones that I loved when I lived in L.A., when I grew up in L.A., are gone. I mean, there are maybe three of the specialty stores left. That's sad. But But what I was trying to say, I got off track, sorry. what I was trying to say is that there was a knowledge. If you asked, I need to get a book for my dad. He's a science fiction nut. He likes classic science fiction, and he's read the same books 20 times. Do you know anything you can give me? And they showed me 3 or 4 books. They knew exactly what, and they pointed out, and he loved the book that they chose. So that's an expert. And they cared, and they wanted to give something nice to my dad. You know, that doesn't exist anymore.
Well, let me say, in the world you're seeing and the perspective, that might be true in your part of the world, but it's where we're moving towards. So I'll give you a couple of examples. So I recently, in Silicon Valley, actually Amazon opened up a store. So I was kind of curious what a physical store from Amazon would look like. And you know what was fascinating? It was the thing that they weren't trying to sell me anything. And it was the thing you said was gone is what's put back in. The people who were customer service people were, by the way, they were all pretty, right? They were pretty boys and pretty girls, right? But,
of course.
But they were these good-looking people who actually were smart as well and fun to talk to. And then when I thought about it, I go, well, where else do I have that experience? Now, even before Amazon bought Whole Foods, I'd always feel comfortable. Like when you walk into a Home Depot or you walk into a Whole Foods, typically the people there, their job is to help you feel comfortable and experience. And maybe that's another one of those reasons Amazon bought them, because the culture was already there in terms of what we need to move back towards. If you have a physical store, it's about the relationship you have with the individuals at the store, not the store itself, right? That's what the social age means, is you're going in there to – so, yes, unfortunately, what happened and what happens continually is people are making – you know, business people are making decisions of, well, who do I hire? Do I spend a little bit more and get somebody knowledgeable? Or by the way, one of the things that's relevant, how many retirees would want work – they don't care as much about the money. They're just happy talking to people that you might be able to bring into the store, because they would act as docents, which is kind of what you're looking for, right? A more knowledgeable person. There are different ways to run businesses, and we're right in this transitional piece where we just don't know what to focus on. So I just, as you and I are talking, you said, hey, this five-hour podcast is too long. And I said, well, maybe it's not based on the lens that the podcaster wants to bring out there, right? So everything is the perspective of who's the audience and what do they want to consume. And the important part is continually asking questions and making sure that you're both growing your audience, if that makes sense, and you're growing it with content that they're interested in you bringing to them.
That's true. I always try to mix my show up. I believe that one of the fun things about having a show is to have all kinds of different people. That's part of the way I try to grow my audience, is to have different topics, different types of people, different – I have, you know, anybody creative is welcome on my show. But I also listen to podcasts that are very, very focused on one certain thing, and I think that's fun, too. I mean, you're right. Lens is very important.
So for those that are interested, do me a favor. Take a look at the TED Talk. It's aha.pub/TED Talk, or you can go to YouTube and just type in Mitchell Levy's TED Talk, and you could find it that way, too. And comment on it and share it if you like it, and ask questions, because I'll do my best to respond to those people who give me comments in whatever social media that you personally play with. So that's what I that's one of the things I do at the end, Sherry. Like, how do you reach out to me? Right?
I was going to actually ask you for your website, so cool.
Well, I'll definitely do that. Well, so the website, the best website to go to is ahathat.com. And I'll tell you what that is and how to, you know, what that means in a minute. What I was saying is, when at the end of the show, when people say, how do you reach out to you? largely, I say this, but I say it for a reason, so we can ask questions. I'll say, listen, as opposed to giving my website or my phone number or my email, I often say, well, just Google my name, Mitchell Levy, right? M-I-T-C-H-E-L-L, last name L-E-V-Y, and I'll show up in the top 5 or 10 slots. Now, that's harder to do if you have a name that's more common, right? But that's one of the things is when people hear my name or when people hear your name, what's the first thing they do? They Google you to see what they can find out about you. Mm-hmm. And then what I say is I say, you know, the social media sites have spent hundreds of millions of dollars making sure that your name pops up with their site associated with it. So what I'm going to suggest is, well, I don't know if you are – now you, Sherry, you're probably more Facebook than you are LinkedIn, right? Or – and I know you have a pretty good presence on Twitter.
And yeah, so I have all of that.
people interact in different ways. So what I'll say is depending on where you interact, connect to me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Google+, whatever is a platform you play on is the one that I'm happy for you to connect to me on, and then we'll figure out, you know, ask your questions or I'll point you in the right direction. And that's how I normally answer that because I want to be at the place that my audience is at.
That makes sense. It's also weird because I got introduced to some things by some of my assistants. They were like, I had no idea even what Instagram was until one of my interns showed it to me. Now I'm
good to have assistants.
Oh no, I needed assistants. I didn't even understand how to get on there.
Well, what that says, by the way, is this is really interesting, is we learn from all different locations. And I think a lot of times I get asked the question is what is your best lesson you've learned in life? So I'm going to share this and then apply it to you. My best lesson is if you can go through life with one mentor and two mentees, you would live a very healthy life. So let's assume an intern's a mentee.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that somebody's a mentee, that doesn't mean you don't learn from them.
Exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, I always believe. I mean, that's something my dad taught us, is that just because you're a student doesn't mean that you're not a teacher, too. My dad was very
intelligent. That's a beautiful aha message. You should tweet that one. I like it.
Thank you.
So,
and it's not
so
mine. It's not
that,
original. It's my dad's.
Well, so that's really okay. So you could give him attribution. My father always said, and then you could say, do you believe it or not?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And and that's a thing that as experts in our space, as thought leaders, 80% of the content we share in the social age should be other people's, not our own. Right. The reason for that is that we want to make sure that if I put my trust in you, Sherry, and whatever you do, I want to make sure you're giving me the opinion that's the best opinion in the marketplace, as opposed to just your opinion. I want to make sure that you're up to speed with things that are happening, so that when you respond, you're actually responding for yourself and your peers in the marketplace. And so if you don't share other people's content, how do I know that you're learning and growing and you know what other people are doing?
That's true. It's funny because I spend most of my time sharing other people's content.
Nice. Well, I don't know if I've seen you in a while, so let me tell you about Aha That. We have – this platform is free to use, free to share.
Right.
We have 44,000 aha messages on the platform, and you can go in and share any of that content today for free. And you can share it for free out of a click of a button. So you can go to the site, you can get access to all of the books, and then you could search on terms that you're interested in, you know, and find quotes that are valuable, and then click on a button underneath and share on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or Google+. So if you wanted to share good, compelling content quickly and only spend a couple minutes a day, you can go to ahathat.com and do that for free.
It's a good plug. Absolutely.
So that's what we do. The same website, but what I'm going to share is another URL. It's ahathat, ahathat.com/offer. And since we've talked, I've definitely transformed what we do. And so if you go to that, ahathat.com/offer, you'll see a three-step writing process. Now, that's where we monetize the site. So we do charge authors to publish with us. And since we've talked, we've had 300 authors write their books in 8 hours or less.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
But let's be clear about, for us, what a book is. Because we're not talking about a cookbook or a novel or fiction. We're talking about business books. And when I talk about business books, let's go back to how you asked me to introduce myself at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I believe today that we need to introduce ourselves and we need to communicate as effectively and as efficiently as possible. And we live in a 7-second soundbite economy. So a AHA book on our platform is comprised of 140 AHA messages, 140, if you think about it, 7-second soundbites. 140 opportunity to capture somebody's attention. You only need a handful, right? And so what we do is we take that AHA book once it's written with our three-step process, and we can turn it into a PDF and a Kindle and a paperback and hardcover. And I think since we started talking, we've made a couple transformations. We now always do hardcover when people are buying our higher packages, and we print color on the inside. So if you're a business person and you want to demonstrate to people in the world that you're an expert at what you do, well, the first question I'll ask you is, who is your audience? Who do you go after? Next question is, what problem do you solve for them? Or a better way to say it was, what pain point do they have that you're addressing? And then, and here's the magic, the title of your book represents the pain point that you're solving for your people. Right? Because so here's the interesting part, Sherry. Let's say you've got 50 actors in a room and they all stand up, or 50 business people in the room and they all stand up and they all get 10 seconds to introduce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If they said their name and the only thing they did is say the title of their book, and the title of the book was actually the pain point that two or three people in the room had. Hi, Mitchell Levy. I'm the author of Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. And if somebody in the room is not comfortable, and I probably would put the accolade, the TEDx speaker and international best-selling author of the book, Being Seen and Being Heard as a Thought Leader. And if there's somebody in the room who's saying, hey, I'm not being seen, or people are not hearing me, I want to be a thought leader, or I need to extend my thought leadership, they're going to want to talk to me, and all I did is share the title of my book. So that's the interesting part to think about today, is for business people, you're not writing a book because you want to make a lot of money on book sales and you wanted to go through the roof. You're writing a book because when your prospect talks to a friend, they're either their friend is going to recommend you, or if their friend happens to be Google, and they go to Google and say, I have a problem with, or I need a solution for, or I need help with, and they type in their pain point. You know what happens when the title and book cover of your book pops up that addresses their pain point? They talk to you.
Yeah.
And that's the start of the relationship. And that's what we do in a social age. We talk to people.
It's interesting. It's an interesting idea. Well, obviously, it's very successful. How many people do you get, like a week or a day or something? Do you get a lot of people coming on, or how does it work? I mean, how do you figure out if you're doing what you want to do to be successful?
You had like 3 or 4 different questions in there. Do you mind if I ask you to fine tune it so I could answer? Because it was great, and I'm like, I thought I had the answer, and then you veered left. That's a different question. Okay, and then you veered right. Like, oh, that's another good question. So anyhow, ask me again if you don't mind.
If you didn't answer any of them, you know, I just tried to throw as much in as I can.
Yeah, you did good.
How do you do it?
Got it. So is the answer from the perspective of what we do, or probably more importantly, what the author or what, you know, maybe what a listener would be doing? Is that the right question?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So thank you. So, you know, it's interesting. First, let's talk about if you don't have, when you're hearing Sherry and I talk about a couple of the platforms we're on and how we share other people's content, if you're not doing to that today, you have to. If you think to yourself you don't have any time, go to ahathat.com. That was the reason it was built, is I currently have 44,000 aha messages that you could share for free in minutes. I want to say in seconds, because once you get the platform, you can do it in seconds. So that's one thing, is just start sharing content. Now, here's the important thing. When you share somebody else's content, what happens with Aha That, it includes their attribution for them, right? So they're knowing and they're seeing that you share their content. And here's what's also interesting. You share your content, you share their content. When people, here's the most important part about social media, and it's actually being social. When people like your stuff or love your stuff or forward your stuff, you should comment, right? That's the most important. You'll see this when you watch the TED Talk. If somebody walks up to you and brings you a cup of coffee, you're not going to ignore them. You're going to thank them. If somebody walks up to you and say, hey, I like your hair today, you're going to look at them and say, thank you. If somebody actually loves your stuff on Facebook or forwards your stuff or shares your stuff on Facebook or other platforms, we typically ignore them. Okay, so that's one thing. You want to share content socially. Now, in terms of the book you write, we have two models. One is where people want to write themselves. And like I said, we've had over 300 authors write their books in 8 hours or less. And on the website, ahathat.com/offer, we have a three-step writing process. So I've simplified it to be very simple. It's a Word document where you're answering four questions. It's a PDF where you're reading what is an aha message and how to write one. And then there's an Excel spreadsheet where you're actually adding your content. I mean, it's really simple. I mean, life should be simple. It's as simple as it sounds. Let me tell you, and for those who want to write, you can just go there and you can start today. And it's hopefully it's straightforward enough. If not, reach out and ask questions. And there's an email address on that page, ahathat.com/author, where you can ask the questions. Now, I want to tell you a story that's transformed how I'm doing business today. And it has to do, at the end of 2016, we actually did a Kickstarter. It hit 250% of goal. And trust me, I understand how important and how rare that is. And out of that Kickstarter, we actually had 20 people pay us that when they were going to write their books, that we would publish it. Now, we're talking about 8 hours for them to write their book. So 20 people paid us at the end of 2016 that they paid us as part of the Kickstarter that they were going to write books and then we would publish. So do you want to guess by the end of 2017 how many of the 20 actually wrote their books?
I have no idea. All of them?
Now, that's exactly what I thought would happen, because if it only takes 8 hours to write a book, why wouldn't, and if you paid money, why wouldn't all of them write a book? It turns out that only 15% of people did it. So let me tell you what that says, and I'll tell you what I did as a result. What that says is that in a 12-month period, 17 people couldn't find 8 hours to do something that would be helpful for them that they already paid for.
That makes no sense to me.
I'm with you.
Sorry, it doesn't make any sense. I don't get it.
So which piece? Do you not get what I said, or do you not get that people would pay for stuff and then not execute?
The part where they pay for something and they don't do it. I don't get that.
I know. So by the way, just so you know, apparently this happens a lot. Because sometimes when people are paying for something, the fact that they pay for something is relieving a pain point. The problem is, and this is what I've come to understand, is although I relieved the pain point of them sort of signing up to write this book and make it happen, they still didn't – I didn't make it as easy. I thought, by the way, 8 hours writing a book, I thought that was easy. Okay. Obviously, I didn't make it easy enough. So I took that as a – by the way, I'm with you. I'm not sure I understand. But there are probably some things I've paid for that I haven't done or executed on, or how many people sign up for the gym in January and by March they don't use it anymore, right? So,
yeah,
but they're still
true.
Paying for the rest of the year.
That's true.
So I changed my go-to-market strategy. And so here's what we do now. And that is, so we've come up with a higher price point where I do a two-hour interview. Right now it's an I, because I'm the one that's most qualified to do the interviews. I will at some point in time create a certification so we can have other people do the interviews as well. So I do a two-hour interview to extract the genius out of somebody's head. And then we have a writing school that we send our writers through. And then my team writes the book from there.
Huh.
So that's our market strategy. And so I know 8 hours seems so little that everyone would do it themselves. And I still have authors who just are do-it-yourself type people. They want to save some money and do it themselves. But when I look at CEOs now, and I'll give you the best example, when I look at CEOs and listen, let's chat. I'll run you through the scenario. We will write the book for you. We then we'll take it all the way through. We'll create the PDF. We'll take an aha book. We'll create a Kindle. For that higher end package, we're also now doing an Amazon bestseller campaign. So we'll do an Amazon bestseller campaign, and then we'll also create 100 paperback, 25 hardcover, color on the inside. We distribute everywhere around the world, and so now think of this for a very reasonable price point. Now, reasonable is all relative to everyone. We now can look somebody in the eye and say, listen, we'll make you a bestseller, shooting for international bestseller. We'll make you a best-selling author and give you a book. It starts with a two-hour interview and probably another 2 hours of review time after that. And that's what came out of the fact that 17 people who paid for something didn't actually take advantage of it.
That's crazy. Mitch, I'm sorry, we're running out of time. Do you have any events or anything that you want to let people know about?
Oh, we have events all the time. What I would say is go to ahathat.com/author and make a decision of whether or not you want to write yourself or have us write for you. And trust me, it will be a game-changing experience for you just from the interview itself. We have some amazing, amazing folks. I can give you one last URL that I can give you, this is also listed on our website. If you go to aha.pub, aha.pub/bseenpackages, you could actually see our packages. You could see some testimonials from authors who have had the work done with them. And it's powerful. And so I'm excited to learn about who you are and how you're going to reach your audience and how we could help.
Cool. We're at the end. I want to thank you for coming on again. It was fun. I hope you had a good time.
Sherry, it's great talking to you and catching up. Thanks for making the time for me.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry. Thank you.